Are you tired of playing small, keeping your big idea locked inside of you, of looking forward to the someday in the future when you'll finally know enough or be enough to take the risk? This is Ideas in Play, a limited run podcast brought to you by the Play Day Summit. In this show, we explore how people in different professions can use play to let their big ideas out into the world so they can make an impact. If you want to know more about the Play Day Summit, head over to playdaysummit.com. I'm Jeff Gibbard, and I am a professional keynote speaker and entrepreneur. I got a bunch of different businesses, and I'm excited to be here today.
And this is Jeff Harry with Rediscover Your Play. I cause mischief in the workplace and make work suck less. And I'm also a speaker.
Look at that. Look at that. Well, Jeff, I am so excited to have you on today. Yeah. We're calling this Ideas in Play. And today I want to talk to you about this idea that you and I had a little while ago called the Play Day Summit. So I want to spend about 15, 20 minutes just going through that and talking about things. So let's kind of start here. Let's tell people kind of where did we come up with this idea in the first place? Like, how did it even begin? Do you remember?
Yeah, we were venting about how most conferences suck. And we were like, well, why do they suck? And what's the best part of the conference? And we were like, oh, the after conference. It's the part where people actually get to connect. And then we were like, well, wouldn't it be cool if the whole conference could just be an after conference where people are constantly able to connect and nerd out while also trying to solve a major problem that speakers have, which is not doing the talk that they really want to do, but doing the talks that pay them.
Yeah. The whole like playing it safe, like do the safe talk right. That'll get me hired back is
right.
That's a real thing.
That's a real thing.
I really appreciate that there's a lot of speakers out there that both you and I know that do take those risks and do put themselves out there and do address some of those topics. And it's a very, very, it's like threading a needle to be able to have some of those difficult conversations to call things out that need to be said while also creating a talk that really resonates with people.
Also, you think about it, you're like, is my talk profitable right now? Right? Like people that were talking about AI 5 years ago may have not been profitable. People have been like, I don't know what you're talking about. We're not ready for that. Right? You know, or when the Me Too movement hadn't picked up yet, right? And people didn't want to talk about that yet. So it's a huge risk for a lot of speakers, basically financially, for them to take this big leap. And a lot of people, or a lot of speakers that I've spoken to, they're bored of the talk they're doing. They've been doing I met a guy that was doing a talk since 1999.
That's
does
insane.
One talk.
That's so insane.
My gosh, man.
Yeah, that's wild. Another thing, though, that I think that came up early for us when we were talking about this is we looked at the format of a lot of conferences and said, we have this thing where we kind of show up. We have this really exciting time in the beginning where we're a little nervous and we're trying to pretend we're somebody else, where we network with people in the beginning. And, you know, some people are better at it than others. Some introverts are like, I'm just going to play the wall. But then, like, we all file into these rooms and we listen to people talk for 45 to 60 minutes on end. And we go from one talk to the next talk to the next talk. We go through this whole day of being talked at and, varying levels of quality of talk. But then we get this part at the end where we all kind of like connect and everybody's relaxed. And all of a sudden, the ideas and the creativity start flowing. And I think one of the things that came out early on when we were talking about this was you mentioned how part of what makes that after conference work so well is that sort of people letting their guard down a little bit, that psychological safety that increases when we're not in the room trying to pretend that we're like, you know, all taking notes and being good students about it all. And I think that was a really important part is like this idea of how do we create an event where people feel safe to connect with one another, where they feel, the ability to just talk about wild ideas without needing to be attached to it. And I was really excited about that part.
Yeah. And the way in which I've been able to build a lot of psychological safety is, you know, through the concept of play, right? You know, and this idea, you know, that we are building a playground for these speakers to actually connect. And the more we actually don't take ourselves so seriously, right? The more that we, you know, are willing to take some risks and be a little silly, especially at the beginning. I do this at the beginning of a lot of my talks because I'm thinking the whole time, I want the people to connect with each other, right? The irony about like going to conferences is you go to conferences to meet people, but then you end up spending 80% of the time listening to one person, which is so disappointing because you're like, I want to talk to the person next to me, but I also don't have any reason to talk to the person next to me. I don't have anything to say to them or, you know, or anything to brainstorm with them. So our whole concept of like, okay, how do we create opportunities for people to connect, to nerd out, to get not only connect, but go deeper and understand, you know, a little bit more of each other, right? Like see each other's inner child. And then after you've done a bunch of exercises like that, then be like, okay, how do we help one another in coming up with a talk that we never thought was possible to do?
You know what I think flies in the face of kind of conventional wisdom here that I think we kind of stumbled upon in this whole, you know, brainstorming session that we had about this, and you kind of alluded to it, but the willingness to take the risks, to develop a talk, mm-hmm. to do all that, actually, I think diminishes over time as people become professional speakers. You talked about this person that you met who had been doing the same talk since 1999. Yeah. I think that it's those initial speakers, the people who are like doing their first talk that don't know any better, so to speak, that like, you know, quote unquote, like haven't been in the game long enough to know that there are certain things that they're supposed to do, quote unquote,
yeah.
that I think they're the ones who are more willing to take risks. And as you get more entrenched in the career, you have to kind of protect your position. Right.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that's, I think, widely misunderstood is people look at successful speakers and I think they don't realize how sometimes isolated that yeah. person might feel or how yep. lonely it might feel. And how yep. how they might actually look at younger speakers and think, oh, you can take risks that I can't take anymore. And I think there's a certain perception that we have, especially again, you have this whole thing you're trying mm-hmm. to put on airs of who you are. I'm a professional speaker. And there's that whole thing, and you put on this front and you lose the ability to actually take those risks and play with an idea. What do you think? You know, your work is in play. So a lot of what you're doing is helping people rediscover their play.
Yeah.
Why do we lose it?
148,000 no's. That's why we lose it. What was it? Shad Helmsetter, this professor, found that by the time you reach the age of 18, you've heard the word no approximately 148,000 times.
That's a lot.
You know, and then that's in a dish. That's not it. You know, and then, of course, you know, you're at school where they're constantly telling you to sit still or be a certain way, raise your hand, follow all these rules. You know, NASA even did a study that found that the creativity in 3-year-olds in comparison to 18-year-olds goes from 90% to about like 18%. It's really sad. So by the time you get to like adulthood and then you're in your speaker world, you're just really scared of losing. You're so worried. You have such a scarcity mindset, you know, especially if you're a speaker that's been doing it for like 10 years and you're like, well, I can't talk about anything else. And here's the interesting part and what I think is a really interesting experiment that we're going to do at the Playday Summit is getting new speakers next to veteran speakers, but having them not talk about like how long they've been a speaker, you know, instead having them nerd out, not sharing their credentials, right? Not leading with that of like, oh, it's nice to meet you. Here's my business card in verbal form. But instead just having them help one another, because then it removes the hierarchy so that a veteran speaker can learn as much from a new speaker because they're willing to like take risk as much as a new speaker can learn from a veteran one. And I think, again, it's creating this playground where, you know, hierarchy is not prioritized and we're not trying to one up each other, but instead we're trying to help one another.
Yeah. And just to get specific with the people who are watching or listening about this, like what is the Playday Summit going to be? And you mentioned kind of like some of the things we're going to do. I think some of the themes that run through the day are one, we're deliberately introducing discomfort. we're trying to take people out of their comfort zone in a very safe environment. So we're creating the space for everyone to just let their guard down a little bit and again, remove those hierarchies, but we're doing it in a structured but unscripted way so that people have this safe landing space to explore with one another, to play with one another, to create with one another without introducing those things that make us feel like shrinking and retreating. So there's that aspect that's in it. We're also, and this is something I'm really excited about, when I looked into a lot of the practices around the people who are most successful at implementing creativity in sort of an operationalized way, like how do you make creativity not just something that, you know, it's part to be creative is to create, right? But how do you then, how do you introduce new ways of doing that? So we've got all of these different ways of changing context on things and kind of forcing people to look at things from a different perspective. And then challenging people to use those two things of being outside of their comfort zone, really being able to connect with one another and having the tools for creativity to then say, okay, let's now use those tools to think about what's really, really important to you that you really want to talk about. And we're pushing people who are in the brand new space, as well as those who have been doing it forever, to really dig into that. And then, you know, once we've done that, we give people the space to kind of reflect for a little bit. And then we move into that after conference where we've got so many different activities. It's sort of like a carnival for speakers of sorts, where we have all these different ideas of ways that people can, they can work on themselves and dig into the professional side. They can go and they can play. There's going to be dancing. There'll be drinks. So it'll be that kind of like choose your own adventure of what happens after the conference, after this full day of cool stuff. So I'm really excited that we did the things to build that. One thing I'd like to kind of leave this, this video, this episode, to talk about a little bit is, get some tips from you about this idea of play and some of the things that you're thinking. I know we haven't fully set exactly how we're going to make in some of these segments, how we're going to bring out the play. And but what are some of the things that you typically turn to when you find people are stuck to get them to reintroduce play into what they're doing? Can you introduce maybe like a three-step process or some sort of a very tiny takeaway for people where they can begin to introduce play so that they can bring out some of their creativity?
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's define play first, right? Because some people would be like, well, what is this play that you speak of? Is this hula hooping? Like, what are we talking about here? So I define play as any joyful act where you forget about time, right? It's where you're fully in the moment, where you're fully in the flow, right? And I think a huge aspect of play is the opposite of perfection. You know, perfection is rooted in like ego and shame and constantly trying to be right, while play is rooted in like curiosity, a sense of wonder and awe. And if you think about that in the Play Day Summit, unlike other conferences and many other conferences, you feel like you have to be perfect all the time. Yeah. You have to have this perfect facade and you have to, you know, be like, here's my business card and here's everything that I've ever done and I'm accomplished. You should know how amazing I am, right? There's like, we're almost playing a role, ironically. And in this play setting, because we're letting go of perfection, we're willing to like fail. You know, we're willing to like try new things out, right? And a technique that people can do that I actually find really interesting, and maybe we'll even do it there, but a technique that I encourage a lot of my coaching clients to do is I have them, which one should I give? I have them reach out to their closest friends and sometimes their colleagues, and I have them ask these two questions to people that know them, the people that really know them. And the two questions are, what value do I bring to your life? Like, why are we friends? Like, what's the point? Like, what do I do for you? Right.
That's a confronting question.
This is why it's like you got to ask for like people that are close to you, right? That you feel comfortable enough to even ask. But like, what value do I bring to your life? Right. Because I think a lot of times we don't know. We have no idea. Yeah. Or we think we do. Right. But we don't. Right. And then the second question is, when have you seen me most alive?
Mm.
And another way of asking that is, when have you seen me most creative? When have you seen me most at play? When have you seen me most outside my comfort zone taking risks, right? But so the two questions are, what value do I bring to your life? And when have you seen me come most alive? And when you get the answers reflected back to you, especially from multiple people, that's why I say 3 to 5 different people, the answers are fascinating. And that's even how I came up with the title of my company, Rediscover Your Play, because people were like, you help people rediscover who they are. And someone else was like, you get people to play more. You get me to play more. And then it just came to me that way. So even if, you know, you are not able to attend the Play Day Summit, just try this experiment out with your friends and see what happens. Because I guarantee you it's going to be super interesting. And then once you get the answers back, if there's any ways in which people suggest you to play that you haven't played in that way, then reach back out to those friends and be like, hey, help me play more in the ways in which you just suggested.
I love that. I love that. And another one that you made me think of, I'll add one last piece to it, which is that you kind of talked about this, this expectation that we maintain perfection and that play is really about imperfection. One of the things I'm really proud of is how much we've built into the Play Day Summit that is about deliberately failing. Like there literally is not a way to succeed at some of the things that we're doing, because to succeed is to fail in many of the things that we have built into this Play Day Summit. So I'm really excited about the things we've done. I'm so excited about the partnership that you and I have built in this, and that the people that from our networks that we've brought in to help plan this and build this. I think it's going to be a really amazing event. So for any of you that are out there that are listening, I want to thank you just for joining us on this short video or podcast, whichever way you are listening or consuming this. And I'm really looking forward to Jeff seeing you at the Play Day Summit. And I'm also really hoping that we meet some new friends who are listening or watching that will join us at the Play Day Summit.
Yes. And I'll leave you with this is, because you were talking about failure, right? And this idea of like failing is part of the process in order to become successful. And, you know, we say that and it's, you know, it's very cliche. But if you talk to veteran speakers, the ones that are really good, is they couldn't get away from the grit and grime of failing. And I think a lot of times we try to tiptoe around it, or we're like, maybe if I buy a speaker course, you know, then I'll get around it without failing. And the thing that I really love about the Play Day Summit is this idea of like, no, we're actually all going to be failing together. We're going to be failing in community,
yeah,
and embracing fear in community, right? From this place of we, not me, so that we're willing, then we're, so that we're more likely to succeed out there. So there's something about creating this playground where we can try all these things out and fail in community that will empower you to be a phenomenally better speaker leaving this, better than any course you would try out, because you're actually taking the risks in front of other speakers. And that's what I'm so excited about regarding the Play Day Summit.
It's a good point to end on. This has been Ideas in Play. I've been Jeff Gibbard, and you've been Jeff Harry. Thanks, everyone.
Such a pleasure. Take care.
Ideas in Play is brought to you by the Play Day Summit. To see if the Play Day Summit is coming up near you and to get tickets, go to playdaysummit.com.